And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Well, I just lost my guest, bud, so you got to get her back.
Who?
You know who. It was Bobby Dooley. She and her husband are doing a sex tape.
All right.
Don't ask me why. Just get her back on the line. Why? What, are you interviewing me? Get her back on the line, man, okay?
Eric.
Oh, God. You know, a lot of the things that we do in this radio... Hello? I can't get Hall up either.
What do you want from me?
Why don't you get something to fix... Turn off his music. I got Bobby Dooley, who... Her and her husband, Ms. Dooley and her husband, apparently have got a sex tape they're marketing. I don't know. We'll find out. Is she back?
Yeah, it's on line number 3, Mr. Henry.
Don't be sarcastic, man, because, you know, it's... I'll come at you, dude.
Yeah.
Ms. Dooley.
Yes, Phil, how are you?
Good. I know you're on your way to promote this sex tape.
We're going to go to San Francisco tonight, Phil, and we're going to be part of a adult film fair there. But we have... what we think is a very, very interesting product. And we really think that it's going to make the rest of these amateurs, well, look like what they are, amateurs.
Are you talking about, you're not talking about the adult film industry? Those are professionals.
No, not the adult films, but we think that it's gotten to the point now where if people are so interested in seeing Colin Farrell, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know if anybody's... It's the weirdness of the whole... You know, Colin Farrell. What was the first one? Rob Lowe, you remember that one?
Oh, yeah, Rob Lowe, and there was another one with Tonya Harding, which I thought was... I was almost sick. It sickened me. It reminded me of William Shatner in that recording session where he said, "Please don't tell me how to do it. It sickens me." And to see Tonya Harding and that big, fat... oh, God, Steve.
Yeah, my wife's a little ill right
now. Okay, I mean, we don't have to talk about Tonya Harding's tape.
I'm sorry.
Ms. Henry, she needs... go get some, Amitrol, some mint-flavored. You gotta get some mint-flavored.
What is it? She's throwing up because of Tonya Harding?
No, oh, I'm sorry, Phil. No, I had a BK fish. Really, what we're doing with this videotape is showing people how classy, how lovely lovemaking can be. In other words, Phil, this is the first time ever in the history of adult films that two people will be on film having sex, making love, who love each other, who actually do care about each other. You need to understand something, Phil. The men and the women in pornography, in the adult film industry, don't necessarily even like each other. If you've read some of the books that have been written by the adult film stars, many of the men particularly have some very negative things to say about the women. They don't like them as people. In many cases, they don't like their personal hygiene. It's quite rude and it's quite revealing. Steve and I, though, show people what it looks like when two people are in love.
All right, now, what is this thing called All of God's Children?
That's one of the positions. There are a variety of positions in the videotape, and we take you step by step through it. All of God's Children shows myself and Steve. Now, I'm in a hot tub. I slowly remove my bikini bottom. Steve then enters. He's wearing an orange brief, and it's very, very electric, very, very exciting, and he's wearing goggles. And I've removed my bikini bottom, and then Steve comes in wearing goggles and then just goes below the water. Isn't that exciting?
And okay, well, yeah, I mean...
It's suggestive, Phil.
Yeah, imagine you can imagine what I'm doing.
Okay, so you're wearing goggles?
Steve's wearing goggles, yeah. And, well, it's difficult for me to describe it, but yeah, I remove my bikini bottom, I look up at him, I wink and lick my lips, and then he comes in wearing... full goggles with a snorkel.
Okay.
And, you know, I think it's really, it's exciting. Another one is called The Lasso. And
now, The Lasso I heard about, this is some kind of a, it's almost contortionist, isn't it?
No, 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 Phil. These are sexual positions. The Lasso, though, is really exciting. I walk in, and I am naked. I lay on a turquoise silk sheet. I then pull my feet all the way back until my ankles are behind my ears. Steve comes into the room. He is fully naked. He attaches a 2-pound weight to his tongue. Now, can you imagine?
That a 2-pound weight? Can I ask you how you do that, Mr. Dooley? Mr. Dooley.
Yeah, no, Mr. Dooley, this way you can clamp it on your tongue. And then I swing it back and forth.
Yeah, he has a 2-pound weight on his tongue. And can you do it, Steve, approximate it for the people?
Well, maybe like kind of like this. Yeah. And I'm swinging.
So he's swinging the weight. All right. Then he gets onto the bed after he's hung this weight from his tongue for about 2 minutes, and there's full elasticity to the tongue. He gets on the bed, grabs my ankles, and begins to lick the bottom of my feet, and then we fade out. So
a lot of it's left to the imagination.
Yes, but it's very sexy. And it's very oriented toward women. There's no pornography that's oriented toward women. So, and
Wait a minute. You know, I don't know. I don't claim to know a lot about the sensibility of women, but I fail to see what a woman would find sexy in a guy hanging a 2-pound tongue from, or 2-pound weight from his tongue. You know.
You almost said 2-pound tongue from his weight. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I misspoke.
How about that? Get a load of that, huh, Steve?
Yeah, the guy's a pro too.
2-pound tongue from his weight.
All right, get over it. I misspoke.
Well, Phil, I don't know what your question is regarding, but I think women are going to be excited. I mean, viscerally excited, watching a woman waiting expectantly as her man stretches his tongue. You know, I can, you know, I mean, I don't want to spell it out.
Yeah, uh-huh. And he starts licking her feet. So is all of this about the...
Well, you know, you can act a little more excited.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you're in the airport. You're on your way. What do you care?
But, Phil, we want you to understand that the amateur out there who's making these tapes, these... Look, if you're going to buy one that's quality.
Now, how much is it?
$5.99.
All right. Well, listen, mail order?
Anything you need.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that, Ms. Dooley. Thank you so much for... I don't really personally want to watch your tape, not because I don't think you guys do a great job, but because it's... It sounds...
not up your alley.
It's not up your Hershey Highway, is that it?
Yeah, it's not up my Hershey Highway. God.
It's just a little sexual humor, Phil, that's all.
Wait a minute, hold on. Yeah, that's us.
Fresno?
Yeah.
All right, we got to go, Phil. But we do appreciate you having us on, and I would, again, like to remind all of your listeners that this is available via our website, www.stevehangs2-pound-weight-from-his-tongue, and Janet Jameson has absolutely nothing on me, Phil. I exude sex like no other .com. And
get these people off of my show. All right, anyway. Tonight on the Phil Henry Show, we're going to have Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police on home invasion drills. And speaking of, you know, drilling, and he's going to be on to talk about how you can make your home safer from home invasion. By the way, this news flash just in, the Lakers have traded Kobe Bryant for LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers. So it's official. The Lakers have sent Kobe Bryant to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavaniers. I forget what they're called. Are they the Cavaniers?
They're the Cavs.
Oh, the Cleveland Cavs. So smaller cows.
Yeah, younger cows.
All right. And Kobe is going to be plying his trade there by the Great Lakes as LeBron James comes to L.A. and is another piece of the puzzle as Phil Jackson goes for NBA ring number 12, I'm guessing. Could be less. All right? We'll keep you abreast of that information as it comes down to us here at Bullcrap Central. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I don't know whether you heard, but, you know, Barry Cowsill. You remember the group, the Cowsills? You probably don't. because it was a late 60s group. But you do know of a television show called The Partridge Family. Everybody knows The Partridge Family. Well, the reason why NBC decided they'd come up with this show called The Partridge Family is because there was a group, a real group called the Cowsills. Now, it wasn't a reference to anything. That was the family name, Cowsill. And there were the kids and the mom. So NBC looked at that and said, well, why don't we turn a TV show into that? Of course, we won't hire them because who needs to pay them, right? We'll hire actors that we can pay scale to. I mean, we'll hire Shirley Jones. And we'll have the Partridge in a Pear Tree Family, whatever the hell we want to call it. Some guy came up with the idea. Some executive. I don't know. What do you think? Partridge. What do you think of that? Sounds Jewish. What do you mean it sounds Jewish? It sounds like Christmas. Partridge in a pear tree, huh? I don't know. What's it supposed to mean? What does it mean? I don't know. What it doesn't have to mean anything. It's a bird, man. It's a bird. The partridge, the bird. It's light. It's airy. It's hippie. Let's go with a hippie thing. I can't understand you. Would take the freaking Coke spoon out of your nose. Anyway, so they came up with the Partridge Family because of the Cowsills. Well, very tragic story today that Barry Cowsill died. He was 51, and the real tragedy of this is the guy was found, the skeletal remains of Mr. Cowsill were found under a storm-ravaged pier in New Orleans. A storm-ravaged wharf. Oh, God. On December the 28th, the poor man... It's very likely, I don't want to say, I'm not a forensic scientist, let's say it's possible that he died in the storm, the Katrina storm, if his remains were that decomposed. But to go under a wharf in New Orleans, I mean, I worked in New Orleans for a year, man. I lived there. A lot of people like to talk about New Orleans. Have you ever lived there? Try living there. Oh, New Orleans, it's so historic, isn't it? Yeah, there's parts of it that are, what do you, like, you know, Algiers, you got to go out there, okay? Take a look at some of the housing projects.
It's really good.
Guy I know said the smartest thing I ever heard about New Orleans. What's wrong with, not that the people were killed, he said, but the storm can only help New Orleans. The place was a toilet to begin with. It's only going to create improvements. But Barry Cowsill was 51, and I believe he was the lead singer on this song, The Rain, The Dwarf. The Rain, The Dwarf, and Other Things, is that what it was? I'm going to have to get on the line, but if you couldn't, get on the line, Jeff Dowder, to find out, because I know he's researched the name of that song.
Hey, what is it?
That's the Cowsills' big hit.
All right, hold on.
And in the meantime, we're going to play a flashback for you. And this is by request, of course. And if you'd like to hear a flashback a bit from a preceding show, you can email us at phs@philhenryshow.com. And it says, hey, Phil, I was wondering if you could play the bit where Jeff Dowder, we're going to have Jeff Dowder on in just a minute, where Jeff Dowder did a workshop for kids and had them call in to answer questions. Thanks for making life worth living, Jake. This was a kind of a cool bit, and we did it last summer in August. It's Jeff Dowder who's driving kids nuts with his stupid questions.
Hey, Garrett, this is Dr. Dowder. How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay, here's your multiple choice question. Does the Earth revolve? This is number one of three, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Does the Earth revolve around the Sun or the Sun around the Earth?
The Earth revolves around the Sun.
Okay, that's cool. You got it. The first one's right. Number two, fill in the blank. Bees live in a...
Can you say that again?
Bees, you know, like the bees that buzz around?
Yeah.
They live in what? What's that thing called that they live in?
They live in a beehive.
In a beehive, that's right. All right, here's the last question, and I want you to think hard about this one. In the 1970s, how many inches roughly did the Skylab astronauts grow due to spinal lengthening and straightening as a result of zero gravity? Okay, it's time's up. All right, thanks.
Well, that's a tough question, though.
Well, it's fairly remote. Are you taking science right now, Garrett, in school?
Yeah.
Okay, what grade are you in right now?
I'm going to seventh.
Okay, a lot of this is pretty remedial science. Some of it has to do with astrophysics. You probably won't do much astrophysics till the seventh grade. But you're right there, man, and you got two out of three, so that's pretty good. Thank you so very deeply.
You're welcome.
All right, we have a caller on the line here, James. James, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Jeff Dowder.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine, sir.
Well, I wanted to let everyone know I have a degree in electronics and computer technology. Okay, I can't answer half of the third question.
Well, why would you be able to? These are questions that aren't in your field of expertise.
but you expect an elementary school student to have this information in their mind.
Yeah, in the middle of their educational process, yeah, right now. Why would I expect you to know the answer to a very complex geology question? Kids in elementary school are taking these kinds of things right now with their geography and geology. If you're in computer science, I mean, congratulations. That doesn't tell you anything about geology.
No.
So why would that qualify you? Number two, do you know why there's lightning? No.
No, I don't.
Okay, neither do I. All right.
And yet, wait a minute. Are you guys telling me that we don't know why there's lightning?
No, we do not.
Okay. One thing I'd really like to point out is, if you've got a degree in anything,
yes, sir,
I would really be surprised. I think you've probably got more of your head in your ass than in your hat.
Well, wait a minute. What have I said that indicates that I don't know what I'm talking about?
Okay, you have a program that deals with children?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If the way you're dealing with these children on this radio show is the way that you deal with children in your profession, you're a dumbass.
What did I do? I asked
you're completely rude and insensitive to these children.
No, I'm not. I asked
them. Yes, you are.
No,
I asked them a question, and you cut them off before they even have a time.
Wait a second.
Time to process the question in their mind.
That one kid, that was the second time he called. I gave him six questions. He didn't get any of them right. And
yes, he did. He got four out of the six. He couldn't get the question right that was the toughest, which is the whatever.
I asked the kid how many kilometers per hour the Earth spins around the sun.
Well, how would the kid know that? You're telling me that this is remedial information for a kid in the seventh grade.
Yes. God, man.
If it's remedial for a seventh grader, regardless of my field of expertise, I should know the question then.
They'll never forget the answer when they get it wrong, and I'll tell them the right answer when they get it wrong, see?
I think your entire demeanor in dealing with children is completely inappropriate.
Oh, so in other words...
You claim to work with children on a professional basis.
I think
you're inappropriate.
I believe in tough love. I believe in tough love. You know, for instance, what would you do, Jordan? Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right, man. The Earth, you know, the crater's only 100 feet deep. We'll just give you that one. I mean, what are you talking about?
The manner in which you're saying, yeah, forget it, you're wrong, and all this crap. And then you said to some kid, did you say Earth or oink? All right, Jeff Dotter is joining us. That was a flashback from last time. You remember that, Jeff?
Yeah, I remember that. That was so... You know, I'll never do that again because I believe I was used and mishandled by Clear Channel and the Premier Radio Network on having me in there. And I went...
Oh, wait a minute, man. You said that you wanted to come on the program to ask kids multiple choice as an indication of this program you had.
Yeah, and then I'm getting ripped a new one. I'm getting ripped Six Ways to Sunset, getting shanked and dipped by some guy that calls in claiming he got an electronics degree. How do I know? And then these brats that call, you know, yeah, hi, Mr. Downer. Oh, yeah, I want to get the free Xbox 360. What do I have to do? Answer three questions. How do you spell cat? What color's the sky? And what color's poo when it comes out after you've eaten, you know, greens? I'm trying to get the very...
All right, man, enough.
No, I'm just trying to get down to the very essence of it.
Just enough, man. I called you about something else.
Yeah, I got the answer. Yeah, you're right. It is the rain, the dwarf, and other things.
The rain, the dwarf, and other things.
Was the name of the Cow Sills.
The big song they had.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's Park. I'm sorry. No, I misread it. I'm sorry. Park. Hello? Okay. Oh, wait a minute. I got to go, man. I'm catching the same flight as the Dooleys and their,
Get out of here, man. The rain, the dwarf, and other things. It's the rain, the park, and other things. That was the name of the thing. It was a song, and the poor guy apparently had an alcohol problem. Barry Cowsill, dead at 51. And as it says right here, they served as fodder for the 70-74 sitcom The Partridge Family, about a six-member family, three brothers, two sisters, and one mom. You know, and that show went on to great success, and Danny Bonaducci has parlayed that into a marvelous radio career and other things. Speaking of marvelous radio careers, I hear David Lee Roth is just stinking it out there in New York. I know, and I don't say that to be unkind, but let's, you know what? I've always told you, let's call a spade. There's one thing I do know something about. It's radio. And when you stick a guy on the radio who's never been on one before, other than sitting on one. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Got a little bit of email to read later on in the program. We also have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on our program tonight to talk about an operation, an exercise that he and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, in association with the, what is it again here? The Volunteer Police Brigade of America. And this is, I like, what is it? What are you drinking in there, Wayne? A beer? I said what I just said. Wayne smiled and then just took another knock on a Michelob. No, you're doing a great job, brother. I got to get a new picture of the crew for the website. Where was I? I was talking about the, what did I just say? Barbecue? No. God darn it. What was I just talking about? I can't remember what it was. Let me just launch into there were like two other items. This is really kooky, baby. All right, look. I know what I was going to tell you about the Weber Grill, but I was leading into something, man. I can't, man. Does anybody remember what I was saying? Can you roll back the tape? We can't roll back. Does anybody remember? Forget it. All right, let me go on to the second thing that happened to me over the last several days. And I was talking about Jay and the Citizens Auxiliary Police and the fact that he was, he's going to be on the show. And he's going to the Volunteer Police Brigade. Yes, okay. So he's going to be up tonight at 8 o'clock. Just teasing what's going to be happening tonight. I say 8 o'clock, I mean our second hour for many of you who are hearing the show on tape delay, like our new listeners in Minneapolis who call us one day later about the topic we did the night before. And that's always fun. And we really want to appreciate, send our appreciation out to, you know, I used to work in Minneapolis, and it was a lot of fun. Now, when our show goes on the air in Minneapolis, I'm very grateful for the great listeners we have there, and I think they deserve better than hearing the show a day late, but that's just my opinion. All you have to do is run it live. Here it is. It's live. At 9 o'clock, the show is on live, I think, in Minneapolis, isn't it? So, that's that. Now, this past weekend, my wife and I are looking for a barbecue, and I got a Weber grill. I got one of those kettle grills. I'm going to tell you something, man. I've been talking a lot of stuff about gas grills. You know, it's been a long time, man, since I just poured the old charcoal into that old kettle and just lit that thing on, just squeezing all that lighter fluid all over it, and get yourself a lighter fluid burger. It's a very nice thing. And my kids flipped. All those years they were raised on gas grill barbecue, you know, hamburgers, right? So I got the charcoal going and boom, 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 got a whole thing going on, man. I mean, I just, beautiful thing, you know? And the other thing that I finally got the handle on is this. You put the coals in, man, and just because they're not red hot doesn't mean the damn thing isn't cooking, right? So I had this chicken on there, man. I mean, the thing, for like 6 hours later, it was cooking these damn chicken things my wife gave me. Anyway, the kids are going, these burgers taste really good. What did you do? Well, I wiped them on the crack of my rear end and then put them in the bun. No, I cooked them on charcoal. And the kids are like, well, what's that? And then I showed them, and they were all not understanding. Like the day that the electric can opener broke, and they didn't know how to eat breakfast. They just were wandering around, you know. And when the microwave broke, they're wandering around with bowls of dry oatmeal and water in it. Just, what do we do? Like Night of the Living Dead. Anyway, man, it's been a long time since I used that old Weber, and I like that thing. I like it a lot, and I don't care about cancer. I'm going back to the Weber, and I don't care who knows it. Then I go into the barbecue place, right? And the guy says, check this out. These cats are very, what do you call them, retro? These guys are all about, no, man, you got to do charcoal. I said, well, wait a minute, man. I mean, what about gas is cleaner? No, there's nothing tastes greater than a charcoal burger. Come on, don't you know that? He says, wait till you see this. The guy shows this to me. What it is a kettle set into a larger table. Now, there is a button you push. And into the kettle goes an electric wand that lights the coal for you, or lights the charcoal, or you can use a propane tank. A propane tank lights a fire that lights the charcoal, but it's all about charcoal. And I said, well, what about like cancer, and what about all that, like, black smog and stuff like that? He goes, oh, come on, what do you care, man? How are you going to be dead soon anyway? You're three packs a day, aren't you? Getting there. All right. Don't you want to enjoy your life while you're living it, son? Have yourself a blackened, charred burger. In fact, I recommend you put that burger on there and let it cook until it's on fire. When you see flames, don't put them out. Let it burn until it goes out by itself and then eat that. You're gonna wish that you'd never die. And a guy says to me, you got to have that. So I bought the whole thing. I got the electric wand. And then my wife comes back and goes, look what I found. What are those, honey? These are charcoal briquettes with the mesquite wood in them. And all you do is touch them with a match and they light up. I go, well, then they're just soaked. They're doused with lighter fluid. Yeah, but so? I said, why'd I buy this electric wand thing? She goes, I got your electric wand hanging. I said, I know you do. So you know what, man? I'm gonna trade off, you know. Go between the old charcoal and the old gas. The old charcoal and the old gas. You know, nothing like that gas, man. You want to get it quick and dirty. You want to do something right. And go about that charcoal, man. If you want to get a little of that burn mark, that grill mark stuff going on, you know, it's kind of charred up. Why do they call it the charbroiled burger, huh? Unless the thing is a little bit black. So, you learn something new every day. And, of course, my kids are flipping out over this. They've never seen that before. There's a lot of stuff my kids don't know about, like doorbells. Somebody knocking. What is that? It's called knocking on the door. Oh, I wasn't aware of that. And things like that. So that's just one little tip from Phil. Because, you know, as I'm always telling you, you know, life doesn't have to be that tough. And there's just the simple things, man. You want to go out and get yourself the big-ass grass. That guy that sold me that 40-inch lynx, nice guy. And it's a good barbecue, but it ain't all that sexy, man. And that whole thing with keeping the lid on it, yeah, I get it. I don't barbecue with the freaking lid on it. You dig? I barbecue with the lid off. Otherwise, what's to look at? I'm going to be sitting there. You got to keep the lid on. I'm not keeping the lid on. I'm keeping the lid off. Well, then the heat escapes. Fine. Let it escape. I'll just make the fire hotter. How? I'll just shove newspaper in there. We'll have a newspaper burger. I ain't letting no heat escape. Everything's good, man. I got to have that lid off so I can look at it, drink a beer, look at it, and take another sip. And then I'll poke it with a fork, take another sip, and stare at it. That's what I do. That's what I do in this world. That's my strength. Thank you. I appreciate it. I leave you now with these words. D. Snyder is God. David Lee Roth is stinking it up. And Henry Rollins was on KFI once. You gotta be kidding me. Did you hear about that? Oh, I'll tell you a little bit more about it. A friend of mine told me. And we also have, as I mentioned, Jay Santos coming up tonight. By the way, folks, if you don't care anything about me, I understand that. If you don't care anything about yourselves, I get that. Life can be that way. But how about the kids, man, huh? How about the kids coming up? How about some of these kids that are runaways or throwaways or whatever you want to call them? Go over to our website and buy our CD, the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. Are You For Real? All the money goes to my friend's place. This is a resource center that sits at the end of Hollywood Boulevard near the freeway. And they help kids that are here in town who are living out of garbage cans. They're living in the tunnels under the Hollywood Bowl. Some of them got AIDS. Some of them have been raped. Some of them have been assaulted. Some of them are, you know, all of them are in bad shape. So if you want to give them a hand, the easiest thing you can do is to buy our CD. And you can even listen to the CD if you'd like. Or you can just say, oh, yeah, this is the, is that the thing you got for sending the $20? Yeah, it's, you know, pitch it, whatever. Just go to our website, click on the link. It'll take you to where you got to go. It's www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Jay Santos around the corner here. And let me just get back to what I was saying. I'm not talking about this to embarrass anybody, but it needs to be said. If I don't say this in the way that I say it, I know that that there are a great many people who have comments about each other and each other's shows. You know, for instance, when I rip Comb Over Boy, I mean, that is so easy. That's like, I don't know, that's like putting, you ever seen those commercials where they take that newly sharpened knife and they run it through a tomato? That's what I do with Combs. It's like, he's the tomato and I'm it's sad. And what a tomato. Tomato can. But he's insignificant. What I'm talking about is the experiment in New York with David Lee Roth. Now, forget about whether Howard Stern's on the air. He's gone and he's never coming back. Get used to it. Get with it. Suck on it. That's just life. But it doesn't mean the radio business has to come to a crashing halt, does it? In the minds of some people, it does. They put this poor man, David Lee Roth, on the air. Now, I say poor man because somebody talked him into thinking that he could be a radio personality. Right out of the gate on a major New York station. That's like me saying I can play the Hollywood Bowl tomorrow night. I can play cello at the Hollywood Bowl. You know, why don't I just sit down and start playing the German cello with freaking tails on that hang down, and I can have that fright wig that that Tchaikovsky guy had and do that whole, you know, that Daffy Duck thing? Would you like to see me out there playing cello? Oh, that's absurd, isn't it? Then how come David Lee Roth's on the radio in New York? You want to know why? Because somebody thinks in this business, some executive thinks this is easy. Some guy that's got a position of power and a guy that believes he knows something about my business. I'm not talking about an amateur. This is a professional executive at a major company believes that this is such an easy thing to do. You stick an amateur like David Lee Roth in there and you're going to get yourself magical numbers, or somehow you're going to grab the audience. It's brutal what that guy's doing back there. It's brutal. It's that horrible. Nothing against Mr. Roth, I'm sure, or Lee Roth, however he prefers to be called. By the way, David, as long as I get your attention, if I have your attention, that glue-over job, man, you know, it's one thing if comb-over does it. You got to glue it over? Come on, brother. Wash that stuff off, man up, shave it off, and get yourself into a nice tight thong, and go ahead, go for it. Hit the beach for a while. See what happens. Anyway, a friend of mine today told me, and I was not aware of this, had I known this, Henry Rollins, you know who that guy is? What band was he in? Black Flag or, yeah. This guy was given a weekend show at a local radio station here in L.A. And I was told by this friend of mine, who is a musician, that it was as brutal, if not more embarrassing, than David Lee Roth. And I have to ask myself, what in the name of everything holy, what in the name of the baby Jesus crapping in a manger, does Henry Rollins, what's he doing on a talk show? Now, I understand he's a real psycho case. He's all tatted up, and he looks like a badass. I sat next to that guy on an airplane one time. He didn't know it was me, and I knew it was him. I sat next to him on an airplane one night to Minneapolis, and there was a lot of turbulence. I thought he was going to crap his pants. I'm not kidding you. I wanted to say, will you get a drink and calm down? You don't give anybody, look at, would you give a baby a scalpel and ask them to operate on your appendix? You would? Okay. That's what we ought to do with these guys that put cats like Roth and Rollins on here. Really? You think he's going to be great? Oh, yeah. David Lee Roth, he's a party animal, huh? He's going to fit right in with that whole Howard Stern thing. That's right. That's why people listen to Howard, because of the raunchy, crazy, you know, talk about not understanding what you had when you had it, huh?
Oh, well, no, it'll hold the young man audience, the same as Lex and Luther and Ass and Twiggy and Ziggy and Bibby and all those cats.
Really? Okay. Well, I tell you what, I understand that you have to have your hernia worked on.
Yeah, I'm going in this weekend.
Well, that infant child is going to work on it. What are you talking?
Well, that's what's going to happen. Gas him.
That's right. My 4-year-old daughter, man, is going to give you open heart surgery. Yeah. Scalpel. Forceps. Watch it, watch it. Pull back the forceps. Yes, doctor. Why is there excessive bleeding? Because you don't know what you're doing? All right, he's dead now. Come to Susie's hospital. Her parents gave it to her.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now it's time for email. Say, what did you mean back there when you told me that you thought I'd never come back?
You're never going to come back. You're going there with him, aren't you?
Sure I am. But I am coming back to you. You and all that money.
No, stop it. Look at the moon.
Yep, the same one we've been looking at for 50 years, baby.
Will it be the same moon you'll see when you go there?
Might be. But then again, maybe I'll just stick around and see what develops. He went to Skull Island and found King Kong. Later they were married. The guy and the chick? No, him and King Kong. Oh, okay. So that's, what do you think?
I think it's a good killer music now, Bob. I think it's a good pitch. And I like the way you do the characters, but I don't think that a guy, he's doing it with an ape?
Yeah.
He's leaving the chick behind.
Right.
And why do you call it a now email?
Well, there was that movie called You've Got Mail, and...
Oh, okay, great.
Now showing. All right, it says here, Phil, you douchebag, I almost ruined my laptop while listening to your show online and sipping on a Captain Morgan's and Coke. Yeah. I took a drink and instantly lost bodily control after RC called in to prank the show. I'm still wiping up the mess. Lieutenant Matt Harmon, U.S. Air Force. Well, Matt, yours is the only email we were able to get in this hour, but we'll cram a few more in later on in the show. Thanks so much, Lieutenant, and keep listening, and fly safely.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.